The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
Been a couple of interesting electoral results, not significant midterm or presidential, but significant in terms of what they say about the possible mood of the electorate, particularly the mayoral election in New York. Plus, there is the impact of a federal government which is completely shut down, and the argument as to which way the blowback of that shutdown is going. Is it more impacting the Republicans and the Democrats? And there may be, maybe it is an inference too far, but there may be a sense that there is a bit of a shift happening against MAGA. With me is Martin O'Malley, who is former governor of Maryland and a former candidate for the presidency, or for the nomination for president for the Democrats. And of course, briefly, Taoiseach of the O'Malley clan, which is slightly less relevant to this morning's discussions, but nonetheless something, a moment of great pride for him. Also, Suzanne Lynch, who is Brussels bureau chief at Bloomberg. And let's begin with Suzanne. Now, the move that we are seeing, the Trump administration, MAGA, all of the rest of it, for those who are of a different political outlook, there have been a lot of false dawns, a lot of moments they have thought the wave is that the tide is turning. Is this a real dawn?
Well, I think there's a lot of optimism among anti-Trump people, voters in America, that this is a bit of a moment, what's happened last week. We had a number of elections where Democrats did extremely well. Some indications that they'd won back voters that had switched to Donald Trump the last time around, maybe Latino voters, the African-American vote, that perhaps that vote was just lent to Donald Trump and they're ready to come back into the fold. And you have a few things happening simultaneously. You have, as you said there, the government shutdown, that beginning to impact people's paychecks. And of course, Donald Trump campaigned on an economic platform saying he would address these cost of living needs, and people are not feeling that. So I think what is interesting, though, and what Donald Trump has said, is he wasn't on the ballot. You know, this was not really a referendum about Donald Trump. As you said there, this was not a federal election as such. But I suppose it does show, in one sense, Donald Trump, whatever your political views of him, he does command huge support. So he gets out the vote. The problem for Republicans is, in a post-Trump world, you know, when Trump is not on the ballot, will they be able to get those voters to come out? Because looking at the election results this week, they certainly didn't. That Trump wave we saw that re-elected him was not there this week in these, albeit very different, elections.
Well, that thing of getting the vote out, Martin O'Malley, I was intrigued by a tweet put out by J.D. Vance saying that much of their movement was predicated and founded on the capacity to get out voters who wouldn't traditionally have been active voters. And reading between the lines, it read like a man who was jumpy about their continued prospects to be able to do that. Do you think they are concerned?
Oh, I think they're very concerned. I mean, this guy is a narcissist on steroids. He can make mischief within his own party, but when there's an election where he's not on the ballot, they don't lift a finger. And that sense ripples all through his caucus in Congress. Immediately after, very bad results for the Republicans and very good results for the Democrats, Donald Trump immediately said, well, you know, that was because of the shutdown, implicitly because of the Republicans' shutdown, which is like throwing your people under the bus. So those election results were big for the Democrats. Not only did we sweep and win everything that was on the ballot, New York, Virginia governor, New Jersey governor, and also the referendum in California, which some had thought might be close, was a blowout. These margins, Anton, were large, and they were large everywhere, regardless of, you know, the particular place on the political spectrum of the candidate. You had moderates, you had more liberal candidates, but all of them under the banner of the Democrats. And right now, what that banner, for all of the criticism of it, says to people is, we can put the brakes on this runaway, rattling train of this man who's literally demolishing the White House, demolishing the government, demolishing the economy, and demolishing the underpinnings of the republic.
Can I ask you talked about the impact of the government shutdown. I think that it is a notion so alien to us here that a federal government would be able to just down tools. How does that work politically? Is it putting the pin on a grenade that everybody's sitting in the one room, or is there a way to make it politically advantageous to one side or the other?
Yeah, it's a dicey thing, and it usually, historically, and let's caution all of our listeners not to draw any lessons about the future of American politics from our past right now. Historically, it's usually fallen on the party that controls Congress. If the government shuts down, the people rightly say, all right, hey, guys, ladies and gentlemen, you're the ones that are in charge of this chamber. In this case, they're in charge of both the Senate and the House. And so it usually doesn't augur well for the party that's in power. If you ladle on to that, the fact that Donald Trump has not even chimed in on this, won't even meet with Democrats, was abroad for most of it. And when he was here, he was talking more about his tacky, glitzy Las Vegas ballroom that he's attaching to the White House. I think the combination and plus all of in the states at the beginning of November, everyone started getting their notices, especially if they buy insurance in the marketplace, that their insurance rates were going way up. So the Democrats have been pretty disciplined for Democrats in staying on the message that, look, we're not going to go along with any Republican budget unless you all restore the cuts to health care that are driving up everybody's costs. And I do believe it started to turn in the Democrats' favor even before the election. The election, however, really punctuated that, gave the Democrats a lot more wind in their sails. And hopefully they'll reopen the government, because I'm calling you from Cleveland now. I drove to Cleveland because a lot of us don't feel like it's safe to fly.
Because air traffic control is a federal employees.
Yeah, the people are calling in. So what's happening here is you have air traffic controllers who are not only calling in sick or financial hardship, that's happening across the government. I used to lead Social Security. There are offices that kind of implode spontaneously every day now because people aren't coming in. And you also have a lot of people just quitting, disgusted with it. There's a lot of air traffic controllers that are just hanging up and saying, look, I'm not only can I not afford to come in today, I'm not coming in anymore. I'm retiring. This is too much. I'm done. So that's what's happening here.
One of the things that Martin mentioned there, Suzanne, was the impact on people's pockets. There was a huge issue around things. I mean, it became the emblem of it was egg prices, but grocery prices, meat prices, all of that was a huge issue in the election, as was inflation. Nothing much has happened. In fact, the numbers continue to go in the wrong direction. How long before that translates into a political voting impact?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things here. I mean, the impact of tariffs, for example, is going to have that inflationary impact in the United States. I think another thing to watch, and I don't think we appreciate it as much on this side of the pond, is how many Americans are invested through their pensions, maybe in the stock market. And there's been a lot of jitters over the last couple of weeks about particularly those tech companies that are driving those huge numbers in the stock market and the AI boom. That's a little bit jittery. And then just something Martin O'Malley is saying there, I thought was interesting, that Trump was away for a lot of this. This is kind of interesting. There is maybe an argument, and some of the MAGA wing of his advisors, people like Steve Bannon, have made this point, that perhaps Donald Trump is spending too much time on foreign policy, too much time maybe abroad, and not focusing enough on the domestic, on American voters, on their cost of living, their economic and other issues. So it will be interesting now to see, is this going to have an impact? Are we going to see some kind of shift in terms of his priorities and how he's going to position himself now as he continues to run the country?
Let me bring in Martin on that thing of the possible crumbling of cohesion within MAGA. I'm intrigued by two things that have happened recently, Martin. One, Marjorie Taylor Greene vocally and repeatedly attacking the Republican Party, particularly over failures in respect of replacing Obamacare. And Steve Bannon then saying that if they don't do well in the midterms and if they don't return a Republican president, that people like him will be going to jail. Neither of those things point to a great degree of triumphalist confidence about the movement.
Yeah, it's a rare bit of humility, isn't it? For the first time in a long time, where to begin with all of that? Donald Trump has always been about Donald Trump, and you know, Susan mentioned something else also, talking about jitters and about the stock market and pensioners. The other thing people are still very concerned about is the damage that he has done to Social Security, and that he continues to do in messing with Social Security. So all of these things are, there's a lot. Here's the phrase that a lot of our candidates are hearing out there from people that are returning to the Democratic Party. They say, I didn't vote for this. I didn't vote for him to mess with Social Security. I didn't vote for this for him to mess with my veterans' benefit. I didn't vote for this to see the price of my health care go up by 50%. That was what the notices said in Arkansas. And in a lot of Republican states, like Arkansas, the notices went out saying that your health insurance is going to go up next year by 50%. The Republican governor tried to roar back and say, well, I got them to agree to make it only go up by 25%. But when you see the costs of everything else going up, that's not a victory. So I do think they should be worried. They've gone so hard, so fast, in so many ways that are so contrary to everything that we thought we had here in the United States in a republic, that the people are trying to put the brakes on it. But we have another year to suffer before the midterms.
Well, that's where I wanted to go. What do you think will happen at the midterms, and what impact will that have on the remaining 2 years of this presidential term?
It's hard to imagine anything getting better, and it's easy to see that many things that they've already done will suddenly come home to roost and be much worse for people. So I believe that we are going to have a midterm that where Democrats win across the board. I believe it's going to be a big swing to the Democrats, and that's why people watch so closely.
Now, is that blind optimism, so Martin, or is that based on reading tea leaves and looking at real numbers?
No, it's based on those real numbers. Look, I used to chair the Democratic Governors Association, and the New Jersey and Virginia, which always come up right after the presidentials, were always of great interest, and people watch those races very closely for good reason, because they're a bit of a bellwether for what's coming and for what the early verdict is on a new administration in the White House. And it was that way for President Obama, and he had disastrous midterms. He also, like Donald Trump this time, did not get involved in those midterms very much. He tried to stay aloof from them. Oh, that's them. They're mere politicians. They're in a lower atmospheric than I am. And Donald Trump, I think you'll see him do the same thing for different reasons. But we were tuning into the news over here, many of us, Anton, for the first time in over a year. We were glad to turn on the news after these results. That margin in New Jersey was particularly significant because that guy had come, the Republican nominee had come close before. And there was lots of people, the pollsters kind of got it wrong. They were saying, oh, it's going to be close. It's going to be close. It had been a Democratic governor in New Jersey for two terms. And, you know, the message they thought that was resonating was, hey, it was time for a change. But it turns out it was time for a Democrat because Donald Trump is not the change people wanted.
Martin, thank you very much. And thank you particularly for getting up at a very unsociable time where you are. That is Martin O'Malley, former governor of Maryland. Suzanne Lynch, Brussels bureau chief at Bloomberg. Let me go back to you on one other aspect of Trump administration currently. You talked about him focusing too much on some of the foreign policy issues. He hasn't made the kind of progress there. I mean, going with Martin's theme about I didn't vote for that, a lot of people voted on the belief that there would be an almost immediate day one cessation of the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Progress there is achingly slow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he doesn't have much to show for this at all. We remember that Alaska summit he had with Putin over the summer, and the European leaders all rushed to Washington to speak to Trump before he went there. They were worried about what he was going to promise. And yet Putin has not come back with what Trump wants. And it's at a stalemate here. And I can tell you things are not going well for Ukraine on the front line at the moment, with Russia making gains in some other towns there. So, look, this is an issue in terms of what Donald Trump is trying to get from his foreign policy. I do think that, you know, Donald Trump represents a new inward-looking America. There's no doubt about it, in terms of foreign policy and in terms of economic policy. We saw that with the tariffs. It's about protecting American consumers and protecting the American way of life as he sees it. And he doesn't really want to get involved with these issues around the world. It was interesting when this is all happening on Friday, Viktor Orban, the Hungarian leader, was there in the White House meeting Trump. And he's very much, he shares a lot of the Trump ideology. He's a very right-wing leader. He's very critical himself of Europe. But it was just a couple of weeks ago that Trump had announced a summit with President Putin in Budapest that would have been hosted by Viktor Orban. And now that's just gone by the wayside. Within a few days, it had been scrapped. So very much a kind of whiplash effect. Like, where is Trump on all these issues? You know, he blows hot and cold. He said he's going to withdraw from NATO. Then he went to the NATO summit in Europe over the summer and seemed to be all sweetness and light, saying he welcomed Europeans' commitments to defence. So he seems to be flip-flopping in terms of where he stands, particularly on the Ukraine-Russia question again and again.
Although that behaviour has never politically harmed him thus far.
No, but I think the reason is that people in America, those voters that we just heard, were willing to say, right, well, we voted for this guy, let's see what happens. Now, I think, when this first big electoral test, we're beginning to see frustration with that now, that they're not exactly happy in these particular states, let's be honest, not across the country, but they're not exactly happy with that. So I do think now, I think Donald Trump is going to be saying, what do I benefit from? What am I getting from this? Now, I do think there is a real wave of, you know, he is in tune with a lot of the American public who don't want to get involved in another Afghanistan, who don't see America anymore as the world's policeman, and are happy with that. But at the same time, this focus on the world stage, the meeting with Xi, the Chinese premier, a couple of weeks ago, that was big news internationally. But like, really, did it matter to people as voters? Evidently not, it seems. Whether he's going to get a deal with China to reduce those tariffs does matter, but that didn't really seem to filter through when it comes to ordinary American voters who are looking at this president and what he's delivering.
Suzanne, thank you so much. Suzanne Lynch, Brussels Bureau Chief at Bloomberg.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.